Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone out this morning. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for another day to come together to worship you and thy Son Jesus. We're thankful that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. We pray this morning that we would honor him. We pray as we open the book this morning that we would glean from it the things that would be useful for us to help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We're thankful for his example. We're thankful for your word, and help us as we go through our service this morning. Be with Rick as he leads our class. We're thankful for his efforts. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Rick?
Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes.
What is that? I've seen it spelled with an E in there, too. And I don't know which is correct or if one is preferred over the other. But you know what we're talking about. Anybody want to tell us what it is?
Basically, it is an amalgamation of all the different things we see taking over the culture, and where we think people see people post on gender, race, and a nationality, and all kinds of other things that I won't go into because I know too much about this to start with. Well, but it's all the things that are basically corrupting the society away from God, in at least in this current generation.
It's a new religion. Just as surely as if we were going to talk about Mormonism or Buddhism or Islam, wokeism has become a new religion. And it masquerades under the guise of compassion and justice, but underneath there is an evil ideology that is incongruent with the Christian worldview that we find in the Bible. This has been growing for decades. There are a number of names that are associated with it. Political correctness is one of them. Cancel culture, identity politics, all of these go with the concept of wokeness or wokeism. And some of us who were brought up in a fact-based, reason-based society find it pretty difficult to understand the anti-factual, anti-reason, emotion-based attacks that are being made. I think what happened is this. Secular humanism left a religion-shaped hole in our culture over the past several decades. It failed to promise meaning and purpose. It didn't provide any real moral framework for how people act. And so wokeism developed a set of values and narratives which offers what secularism failed to provide. It's a version of truth and justice and righteousness and sin and judgment. It gives people a sense of meaning and purpose. And it has public rituals. Yeah, Chris?
A thought has just occurred to me, and I think it might be pertinent.
Okay.
I don't even think I would call this a new religion. When you think about it, look at all the things they do, basically the things they worship. It literally is just paganism, just given a new name, so people think it's new.
Yeah. I think there's a great deal of truth in what you just said. And by the way, I should have said earlier, Chris has the microphone. If you want to comment or give a thought, just let Chris know and he'll bring it right to you. We have, some of you may have experienced sensitivity training in connection with your work. That is a ritual of wokeism. The confronting of white fragility is a ritual of wokeism. Wokeism offers what every sinful heart longs for, and that's moral justification. And as far as I'm able to determine, there are four main pillars that hold up the structure of wokeism. One of them is anti-white racism that's disguised as social justice. Another is the rejection of traditional morality, and this is carried out by the promotion of sexually deviant lifestyles like homosexuality and transgenderism, and charging people who object to those things with being homophobic, transphobic, but those words are never defined. We never know what they mean. It sounds like we're scared of something, but we don't know what those words really mean, and we're not intended. It's supposed to be left fuzzy and undefined, undetermined. Another pillar is environmentalism that's based on the notion that it is desirable and possible to arrest climate change. And the fourth pillar is an intense hatred toward the Christian religion, which is painted as intolerant and oppressive. And each one of these pillars is based on a false underlying premise. Because, in the first place, America and other Western societies now are not systemically racist. Blacks and other minorities often enjoy rights and privileges that are unavailable to the white majority in our time. Secondly, traditional morality is not immoral. It's meant to facilitate the well-being of both individuals and communities. Third, climate change has been the defining characteristic of the Earth's climate since the global flood, at least. And there's no reason to think that we can stop it or should stop it. And fourth, the charges against Christianity imply a misunderstanding of what human beings are. Being intolerant of immorality and evil are prerequisites of individual and societal welfare. But wokeism is a totalitarian point of view. If it were to achieve a great deal of power, then there's no telling what might happen. And totalitarians always adopt worldviews that are based on lies. The fact of the matter is that the only answer to the world's social problems is a biblical worldview, which says we're created in God's image and that we have a purpose because of that. God has a standard for morality and behavior, and we've sinned, so we need God's grace and redemption. But wokeism has different ideas about truth, justice, and equity, and it doesn't leave any room for other ways of addressing those issues. There's a lot of talk about the LGBTQ movement, and each one of those letters identifies a different kind of sin that the woke forbid us to call sin. So the woke movement is based on a lie, and the people in it seem blind to what nature itself teaches about sin. It attributes intrinsic guilt or innocence to an individual based on their group identity, regardless of the actions of that individual. And there are scriptures that deal explicitly with that point. Somebody read Proverbs 17:15, if you can get to it handily. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. Anybody got Proverbs 17:15? Chris, go ahead.
He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord.
Okay, there's what the Lord says about this. If you justify the wicked, or if you condemn the just, you are an abomination unto the Lord. But this is precisely what wokeism does, because it looks at people as groups. Also, Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Somebody read that one. Ezekiel 18, 1 through 3.
The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares Sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel.
Thank you. And later on he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So you people have been used to using this proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, there's a connecting link of guilt between the fathers and the offspring. But you're not going to use that proverb anymore in Israel, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's talking about individual personal responsibility. You're responsible for your sins. You're not responsible for other people's sins, not even other people in your family. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it's talking there about regarding no man after the flesh, meaning that we're not to judge people based on natural identifiers like race, age, sex. We evaluate people based on the standards of Scripture, and we treat them as equals created by God. Also in Isaiah chapter 5, somebody read this one, Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. This is quite a piece of work here. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Phil's got it.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight.
Thank you very much. That speaks for itself. You know, I used to, years ago, read that and think, well, who would do that? But now we're seeing it all the time. The narrative of redemption that wokeism puts forward is the opposite of the Christian narrative. In the Bible, the individual is the primary mechanism for the redemption of the world. And ideal Christian behavior is mercy, peace, kindness, and forgiveness. But wokeism presents the redemptive pattern of various groups vying for one another with power in a system that is inherently oppressive. It's a tribalistic vision of the world where the only thing that exists is power, and therefore violence is easily justified because you have to get rid of the oppressor class. So the logical consequence, the logical conclusion of cancel culture is beheading. In the French Revolution, they used the guillotine, and it remains to be seen what will be used here if it gets that far. I don't know whether it's going to burn itself out as a fad or whether it's going to continue on. I think it's too soon to tell.
I don't know. Like you say, I can't predict the future, but it does seem like sections of wokeism are, to put it in one term, they're eating each other, basically. They're destroying each other. They're trying to basically outdo one another. And they could, even if it doesn't fizzle out as a fad, like you say, they could end up, if not destroying the oppressors, quote unquote,
yeah,
they might destroy themselves.
Yeah. Like we're saying, it remains to be seen. Because what we have in these kind of movements is pendulum swings, but it's not like a regular pendulum that's attached in one spot. A regular pendulum goes back and forth like this, but what we ordinarily have in these things is a pendulum that'll swing to the left, and then it'll come back a little bit, and then it'll swing further to the left and come back a little bit. So it keeps on moving left, and we don't know. It should be interesting to watch. Somebody said, may you live in interesting times, and we certainly do. Wokeism is really an offshoot of Marxism that deliberately provokes and feeds on disunity. It intensifies ethnic hostility. It imputes guilt or victimhood according to skin color. It speaks of injustices that never can be atoned for, but for which reparations should nevertheless be paid. So it's a dangerous worldview that is incompatible with Christianity. One of the things that makes it hard to talk about this is that it has not been formalized into any religious structure that you can pin down and put your finger on. But yet it has all the functions of religious doctrine. Intellect is replaced by will. Reason is replaced by emotion. Morality is replaced by relativism. And they have their own vocabulary and their own literature propounding its philosophy. So we need to remember what the apostle told us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's what he said. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Wokeism will take you captive if it can. I've seen people in the church fall prey to this on a fairly regular basis in recent times. We have the statement again from the Apostle Paul, this time in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to Christ. So that's what we're trying to do when we talk about something like this. We're acknowledging that the Bible is authoritative on every thing it talks about, and also that it talks about almost everything. The core of wokeism is that all white people are racist. In this system, there's no grace and there's no love. There is only grievance and resentment and condemnation. The statement is made that as a collective unit, white people are guilty, but there's no real resolution for that guilt. Now, 100 years ago in our country, there was a movement known as the social gospel. It retained the vocabulary of traditional Christianity, but it changed the meaning of the words so that after it got going, salvation was not primarily about personal salvation, but it was about social change because The social gospel taught that man's core problem is not his own sin, but it's societal brokenness, it's political corruption, it's economic oppression. So the goal then became to remake the public order, but not to rescue the sinner. And this became a religion that's so entirely different from Christianity that it was in a completely different category. And liberal Protestantism continued to develop until it was denying the historical truthfulness of the Bible. It was denying supernatural miracles. It denied a sin-cleansing atonement for individual sinners. Wokeism is similar to that. It's a later day expression of that type of thought that uses theological language without any need for God or His grace. Because this is so confusing, I think maybe we should talk first about what wokeism is not, because a lot of people are wondering whether they should be considered woke. Let me tell you this much. Wanting social harmony across backgrounds and across skin colors does not make you woke. Wanting peace in areas with a history of ethnic tension does not make you woke. Seeing massive failing in American and Western history, namely long and sustained patterns of racist thought and practice, does not make you woke. Being troubled by Christians' complicity with racism in the past does not make you woke. Adopting children from a different region or with a different skin color does not make you woke. Interracial marriage does not make you woke. Grieving over the needless deaths of people who were made in the image of God does not make you woke. Doing everything you can to build bonds with people of different who are different from you does not make you woke. Enjoying global culture and those who differ from your own background does not make you woke. Knowing that Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jew and not a white American with flowing blonde hair does not make you woke. Praying for greater diversity for your congregation through the saving of fellow sinners does not make you woke. Wanting greater justice in the world does not make you woke. Being more thoughtful with your language regarding personal differences does not make you woke. Recognizing that you have within yourself the potential for partiality does not make you woke. Seeing trends of partiality in your family, in your community, in your region, or in your country does not make you woke, nor does wanting to leave such evil behind. Rejoicing in relationships you have with fellow Christians across all common boundary markers in this world does not make you woke. Many people wonder if they're woke because they hate racism. And they love humanity as made in the image of God. That's not wokeness. That's just basic biblical Christianity. So we don't want to confuse a godly approach to ethnicity and background with woke thinking. Most people do want civic unity. Most people do grieve the wickedness of past racism. Most people do support the police and want better relations between law enforcement and the citizens. Wokeism contradicts Christianity, and yet it could not have arisen apart from a culture that has a Christian background. It's among Christians that life has been regarded as valuable. It's among Christians that marriage and family have been honored. There are connection points of thought between Christianity and wokeism. The two systems use some of the same words. But wokeism takes our teaching about the value of a human being and refashions it. It replaces personal sin and guilt with corporate and systemic sin and guilt. And wokeism forbids God to even enter the conversation and tell us what is right and wrong. So we need to ask questions like, what is justice? What is unity? What is a human being? What does it mean to be human? And to answer those questions, we can't ask the world around us because they don't have a clue. To answer those questions, we have to go to God. Our dependence on Scripture is intentional. Our dependence on Scripture is unmissable. It's an unmissable thing about us that we're always looking back to the Bible. The Bible is sufficient for all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. The Bible gives us exactly what we need to find unity, hope, and justice. The Bible tells us that sin is always personal and individual. While the gospel is proclaimed to all, the gospel can only be received individually. The just shall live by his faith, not by somebody else's faith. To speak of sin and guilt as systemic ignores individual responsibility. God is God and everybody else is not. So we totally trust His Word. And we apply a biblical worldview to the hard questions around us in the world. And we find that the answer is not wokeism, it's biblical truth. Wokeism is a mindset. It's supposed to mean that one is awake to the true nature of the world when so many people are still asleep. Wokeism occurs when one embraces a system that is called critical theory, or more specifically, critical race theory. And this teaches that all of societal life is structured along racial power dynamics. Race is a social construct. Race is not biologically based and exists only in our imagination. And I agree with them on that. The CRT, critical race theory theorists, do not actually believe that race is a tangible truth, and yet they act as though race is real to advance the interest of underprivileged people. Critical race theory says that America's original sin is racism, and that systemic racism can only be addressed through political and economic means. Mark this well. Colorblindness, a colorblind society, is not the goal of wokeism. What Martin Luther King said on the March on Washington back in 1963 is not what wokeism believes, it's not what they teach, and it's not what they want. Luther King said that he had a dream that someday his four little children would live in a society where they would be judged on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And I think we all want that kind of a society. We agreed with Martin Luther King on that. That's gone in wokeism. That is not the goal at all. The goal is the defeat of whiteness. Ibram Kendi, who is probably the leading woke theorist today, says, quote, "The most threatening racist movement is not the alt-right's drive for a white ethnostate, but the regular American's drive for a race-neutral one," end quote. What's he saying? He's saying he doesn't want people to be oblivious to what color each other are. He doesn't want that at all. Wokeness is not a movement of unity, nor does it preach tolerance. In fact, it saves its strongest firepower for ordinary people who live quiet, normal American lives. To wokeism, a normal, regular American is worse than a Klan member. Wokeism reads white American majority culture as evil. In wokeness, there's only the righteous, those are the woke, and the guilty, ordinary white people. In reality, you and I know that there's no such thing as an average white person. Recognizing this is it's one step out of the woke entrapment that they try to get you into. Christianity always accords with reality, and it's the only logical endpoint of any true search for a reality. In critical race theory, common people are either oppressing others or they are oppressed. Everybody is involved in one or the other. In critical race theory, life is a zero-sum game. Some win, but most lose. Critical race theory questions the very nature of reason itself, because reason is deemed to be a thing that white people have brought in. So destabilizing reason allows for the destabilizing of entire views of the world. The Black Lives Matter platform opposes the nuclear family. This was in plain print on their website until fairly recently, when people started noticing it too much. But in critical race theory, men oppress women, and this is always true. Reason oppresses minority groups. The rich oppress the poor, and this is always true in critical race theory. Physically able people oppress disabled people, and that's called ableism. Heterosexual people oppress sexual minorities. Adults oppress children. Christians oppress religious minorities. And you are either an oppressor or you are oppressed. And your skin color and access to privilege determines which category you're in. Not your character. Your character's got nothing to do with it at all. And for these reasons, then, men must be removed from positions of authority. Boys must be trained to see strong manhood as toxic masculinity. Income must be confiscated and redistributed. Capitalism should be resisted. Reason must be opposed by personal narratives. Your truth and my truth, here's my story. Minority status gives one a unique ability in wokeism to see truth that privileged people necessarily cannot possibly comprehend. So where did this ideology came from? In two words, Karl Marx. In two more words, Frederick Engels. The Communist Manifesto, which they put out in 1848, has them making this foundational claim, quote, "Hitherto, every form of society has been based on the antagonism of oppressing and oppressed classes. Therefore, the history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles," end quote. Now, the Bible teaches us that accountable humanity is divided into two groups. There are saved people and unsaved people. But Marx reframed the categories into oppressors and oppressed. Marx believed that authority by its very nature is oppressive. You can't have authority without it being oppressive. So wokeism is Marxism updated and revised. This combative mentality of unfair victimization, though, as Chris was pointing out, has been around a lot longer than Karl Marx. This was whispered in the Garden of Eden in the slithery hiss of the serpent there. So traps are set in this wokeist system. You're caught no matter which way you turn. And concepts such as logic and science and reason are viewed as tools of the oppressive white patriarchy. It's what makes it hard to deal with because people don't want to even discuss these things with you in so many cases. I think I told you I was walking by some people protesting. One man had a sign. I said, "Could we talk about the message on your sign?" He didn't want to talk about it. He just wants to be mad. He just wants to throw a brick through somebody's window. Were you going to say something, Chris?
Only one thing, and it was just, you had said there are four pillars upon which the wokeism seems to stand, but I think you've hit on something that I think determines a fifth pillar,
okay.
If I may.
Good.
When you talked about men, that's, I think, is the fifth pillar.
Yeah.
It's like you talked about the whole feminine, the word patriarchy. I think that's the fifth pillar they have,
okay.
From what I've seen of it, is an intense hatred of basically men in general.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I was lumping that in with the part about the sexuality, but.
I didn't think of that. Yes.
Either way, that's fine. Yeah. It's fine to have five, but I was putting that in with the transgender, the homophobic, and the fluidity of gender that you can't really tell when a baby is born. And I have heard doctors actually say this, that we make a guess when a baby is born, but we don't really know what gender it is. The baby will determine that later on when it becomes a little more cognizant of what its feelings are. So we just make a guess about what to put on the birth certificate pertaining to gender. Well, that's anathema to the Bible, of course.
Mm-hmm.
God was made man in his own image. He made woman out of the rib of the man. And they were both made in the image of God, and therefore all their offspring are in the image of God, with purpose and meaning based on that. So it's a much different system. In wokeism, you just come from an evolutionary system. And by the way, the original name of Darwin's 1859 book, The Origin of the Species, the longer name shows that he was dealing with white European civilization as the peak of humanity, the favored race, and he's talking about how you get to the favored race and you go through all these other stages so that indigenous people around the world were regarded as just bridges in that evolutionary process. They were in the process of working toward becoming human, but European society, and it was Darwin's theory was always about explaining human civilization, not just explaining finches in islands out in the ocean. That was just the beginning part of it. So this is it's a pervasive philosophy that has been around for a long time. Values like individualism, hard work, punctuality, delayed gratification are all understood as perpetuating white supremacy. And if you're in the oppressor class, how do you find redemption? Can a white man become black? No. There is no redemption. In the woke culture, there is only judgment. Wokeism teaches that if you are white, when black people say that you have insulted them, you need to apologize. But don't put black people in a position where you expect them to forgive you because they have dealt with too much to be expected to do that. Don't ever expect a black person to assimilate to white social norms because black people have a culture of their own. Silence about racism is violence, but you should elevate the voices of the oppressed above your own voice. You must strive eternally to understand the experiences of black people, but you can never understand what it is to be black. And if you think you do, you're a racist. You must show an interest in multiculturalism, but you must not culturally appropriate. What is not your culture is not for you, and you may not try it, and you may not do it, but if you aren't nevertheless interested in it, then you're a racist. So support black people in supporting their own spaces and stay out of those spaces, but seek to have black friends. If you don't have any, you're a racist. And if you claim that you do have any, they better be good friends, but you still aren't allowed in their private spaces. If you're white and you only date white people, you're a racist. And this is pervasively taught and believed by many people on college campuses today. I was just talking with a girl about this yesterday. Black people cannot be held accountable for everything that every black person does, but all whites must acknowledge their personal complicity in the racism of the past. This is why we used to think we knew who killed Martin Luther King, but now these folks are teaching that our whole society killed Martin Luther King. We're all guilty of his death. This system says that black students must be admitted to schools via adjusted grade and test score standards to ensure a representative number to foster a diversity in the school, but it's racist to assume that a black student was admitted to a school via racial preferences. So wokeism offers liberation, but it entraps. It speaks of justice, but it causes injustice. It reads an entire group of people as intractably guilty and reads the opposite group as irreversibly innocent. And it builds on an American past that does have real problems and sins. That's how it sells itself. But wokeism is in no way unifying, and it's not sound teaching. Wokeism is a mindset, it's a mood, it's a set of principles and beliefs. And the idea, as we've said, is that the earth is divided into oppressors and oppressed people. A major form of oppression today comes from whiteness, and the evil of this shows up in disparities and inequities. This is a godless ideology. It's entirely separate from biblical justice and from biblical grief and repentance. And if it has its way, it will upend much of the consensus that we have established in our society through the previous several decades, because it's going to convince many people who did not harbor racial prejudice that, in fact, they did have racial prejudice. Christians are being called on to repent of their whiteness. We're being told that we are complicit in the racist sins of the forebears. This is a generational understanding of sin that is entirely foreign to the New Testament. And it's all through our society. So that you'll have a company like Coca-Cola teaching its employees, try to be less white. Try to be less white, whatever that means. And there's a list of things that they'll tell you that are meant specifically by that. But in the New Testament, nowhere is any person asked by Christ or his apostles to repent of a sin that one of their family members committed. Nowhere in the New Testament is anybody rendered guilty for the crimes of a previous generation. We can grieve past failings, and we should, but that's different from repenting of them. We have enough sins of our own to repent of without repenting of the sins of other people. We are asked to align with Black Lives Matter in a very clever way. Back when you've lived a long time, you see things in perspective. Back in the 1960s, when I was in high school, there was an organization known as the Black Panthers, and they had a kind of a headquarters downtown. It was a big deal, the Black Panthers. But that sounds a little ominous. That sounds a little bit threatening. There's panthers in that title. So that did not attract as much attention, and it was not seen as attractive as Black Lives Matters, because they've learned to use a better title now. Call it Black Lives Matters, and who's going to argue with that? Of course Black Lives Matter. We've all always believed that. So we're not going to argue with it, and it's easier to think that we can align with that movement because we agree with the truth, the obvious truth that's in that title. But this system is an organization with a polar opposite view of the natural family, as we read about it in the Bible, and the sexes and sexuality from the Bible. We're told to see capitalism as oppressive and unfair and unjust, with socialism as a preferable system. We're urged to support reparations and distributive justice over retributive justice. We need to be able to distinguish truth from counterfeit, and that's why I wanted to talk about this morning. Wokeism divides rather than uniting, and it leads only to further polarization in our society. The tricky thing is that in wokeism, it's not the actual facts that matter. It's the narrative. It's the story. And anything that doesn't fit the narrative, you just ignore or discount or minimize. For example, we should all take an interest in police shootings, but we should do so fairly. We should do so with an interest in the facts of the case and the details of the law, because without law and order, society breaks down and justice atrophies. Nobody should be silenced because of their skin color, black, white, red, yellow, or brown. But often many complex facts of American history get minimized or glossed over or ignored. For instance, when we deal with the African slave trade, there was a great deal of participation by black Africans in the slave trade. There were black slaveholders in America. Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood's Negro Project, and the rate at which black babies have been aborted in our country over the past half century, are things that need to be looked at on a factual basis, and we need to do justice to the actual facts of history. Now, we all know that actual white supremacy has an appearance occasionally, and it's a hideous thing. It's segregation and lynchings and women abused by slave masters. It's a denying of the humanity of people based on their skin color. But in our society now, outside of the KKK and a few others, where do we find white supremacy today? Disparities do not prove injustices. They are very complex things. We in Christ savor the oneness that we have in Christ with those of every ethnicity and background. There were lots of white people who campaigned against slavery and the Jim Crow laws. You know what I mean by Jim Crow?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Rice was a white stage performer who used blackface on stage, and Jim Crow was a character that he portrayed in a derogatory minstrel routine back in the 1830s. And this began to be applied to laws that were unfair to minorities. And we used to have those kinds of laws. Lots of people of varying skin colors, though, paid dearly to end those systems. We spent 600,000 American lives ending race-based slavery in America, and a lot of other people. Read the biography of William Wilberforce in Great Britain. There's a lot that's been done by people of every stripe and variety on this. It's not fair to assume that the same skin color that corrupted America societally in the past is still here today, or that the same evil is still here today. Yes, we will always battle partiality of varying kinds until the Lord returns, but there's not much to substantiate now to substantiate the claim that we have failed to substantially overcome racism as a society. So sometimes I feel the pain, the disturbance that people feel, but I can't accept their diagnosis and I can't accept their cure. Any cure other than Jesus Christ is not going to work until everybody finds one another at Calvary. It's just not going to work. There's no other system that does work. But instead of that, people still polarize. Some are now saying that Jesus was black. I hear this all the time, that Jesus was black. We've got to stop caring what color he was. It doesn't matter what color he was. He died for you no matter what color he was. He died for you no matter what color you are. And that's the point of the Bible. No wonder Jesus came before the invention of the camera, because maybe he didn't want us to know exactly what his skin tone was. We know he was a Middle Eastern Jew, but beyond that, it's anybody's guess what his color really was, because it doesn't matter. We don't need to know, and it might be problematic if we did know. So sometimes you can put your finger on a real problem and then diagnose and address that problem in an unbiblical manner. And if we make a wrong diagnosis, we're going to offer a wrong solution. So we don't dismiss passion over what happened in the past, but we can't be ruled by it either. We should not read people in a certain light because of their skin color. And I thought we knew that a couple of decades ago, but we don't seem to know it as a society anymore. Wokeism does not understand that simple truth. We cannot equate our culture's pursuit of justice as being the same thing as biblical justice. Don't assume that because somebody's using biblical language that their case is sound. Neither the woke diagnosis nor the woke cure is going to bring about anything resembling unity, justice, hope, and healing. Wokeism promises these things, but it cannot deliver them. We're not wrestling, you and I, against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual powers. So we expose and we confront false teaching wherever we find it. And our goal is always to help and strengthen and call the straying back to the Lord. Make no mistake about it. Wokeism is not friendly to Christianity. Wokeism cannot be adapted to Christianity. Wokeism is not a prism through which we discover truths that we can't see in a Christian worldview. Wokeism is a different system entirely than Christianity. It's a different gospel, and it is anti-gospel. We need to look at the church and see the distinctive beauty that God has put into it, the glory, the order, the joy found in the church created by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christianity is not like other systems of thought, but only with a Jesus twist at the end. It's a different system altogether, and Christianity is the one that is true. Think of what the apostle said in those passages I mentioned a moment ago. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Colossians 2:8. See to it that nobody takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. We present, therefore, the whole counsel of God. We make disciples who obey what Christ commanded. We love God and we love our neighbor. And we only have one master. The Apostle Paul taught us that our enemies do not always appear in robes of darkness. Sometimes they masquerade as angels of light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Anybody ever read Edgar Allan Poe's story of the Telltale Heart? Sherry did. Some of the rest of you did, I think. It's very interestingly done because Edgar Allan Poe understood the vengeance of human conscience. In the story, the narrator has killed an old man. And there is no true dead heart beating under the floor in that story. But the narrator goes crazy because he thinks there is, because he is unrepentant in his evil doing. He thinks that that dead heart that he buried under the floorboards is making an audible sound that other people can hear. So when the police inspector is there in the house, sitting in a chair across from him, and the murderer hears this heart beating. He thinks the police can hear it as well and just drives himself crazy and eventually goes over and takes up the floorboard and shows where he buried that heart. This story draws our attention as we study wokeism for one reason, the sense of guilt. In woke ideology, guilt for past crimes from long ago still exists today. And those evils of the past, according to this philosophy, should be acknowledged and learned from as historic events. I can go with it that far. We should learn from them as historic events. The trouble is that in wokeism, guilt is like a meteor that falls through the roof of your house and crashes through the second floor and crashes through the first floor and lands on you in the basement. And it then becomes your guilt. White guilt passes down through the generations into the present. So I want to help the church find freedom from unresolved guilt that's based on false pretenses. Wokeism tweaks the doctrine of humanity. It loses sight of the image of God in all people. The image of God is the reason, from the anthropological point of view, for the unity of the human race. God made man in his image. Man and woman and all their offspring bear the image of God. So every person is thus fully human per that image in them. This is our starting point. We start with the unity of humanity, and then we can enjoy the diversity as we move out from there. Wokeism starts with all these differences, and we never are going to be able to have unity because they'll never pull it together. The power is retained by keeping people polarized. You and I do not begin with how unalike we are. We begin with our unity of as image bearers And we are one human race. The concept of race, as commonly spoken of today, is not even in the Bible. There is one human race. People have different levels of melanin. If you have less melanin, your skin is lighter. If you have more melanin, your skin is darker. But what a trivial thing to even need to be concerned about. We are one human race, and the concept of race is man-made. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant that specializes in a racial cuisine? I don't think you have, but a lot of you have been to a restaurant that specializes in an ethnic cuisine. So that's what we're talking about. And sometimes we just need to take back the terminology of the world and use more biblical terminology. The Bible uses the word ethnos. In Acts 17:26, God has made of one blood. All nations have been for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And that expression nations there is from this very Greek word, ethnos. So there's really no such thing as a black person and a white person. We're all different shades of the same color. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this in the sermon time. I didn't leave you time at the end, sorry, but you've got a 10 or 9 or 10 minute break.